Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on essential oils when we come back. You know, over the past century, we Americans, who were once independent, capable, and able to manage our own financial, medical, and legal affairs, have now been reduced to dependence, incompetence, incapacity. And we have been made wards of powerful commercial, financial, medical, and legal corporations, cartels, and bureaucratic institutions in our modern industrial society. And we've been taught to rely upon these paid professionals. Professionals like bankers to manage our financial affairs and doctors to manage and treat our health problems and lawyers to direct our business and legal affairs instead of relying upon our own good common sense. That's why I contend that it's time that we Americans, who were once able to catch our own fish, learn once again how to fish instead of being fed by these paid professionals. Regaining our power of attorney is the single most important step in regaining our capacity, our rights, our liberties, and our duties. Now, if you'd like to learn more about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you write for my free General Law CD package. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. You can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website and then send us an email. The website is georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine when you get there and send us an email request. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about essential oils. Essential oils are the opposite to pharmaceuticals. In today's modern society, when you get sick, you go to the doctor, he gives you a shot of penicillin. That's called modern science. 1,000 years ago, when you got a cold, flu, pneumonia, and you needed a shot of penicillin, they didn't have penicillin, so you would use cinnamon, myrrh, anise, or some other essential oil to accomplish the same purpose. If you cut yourself, today you put on some methylate or some mercurochrome. In olden days, you would have put in peppermint oil or some other essential oil that is a bactericide or a virus killer. I'm trying to think of the name here. Not a viral side, but a virus killer. Now, today in modern medicine, we have treatments galore, but we don't have any cures. And so when you go to the doctor, he says, well, you've got cancer. That's the bright spot. We are able to identify, trademark, copyright, and then sell cancer. And we know that you have cancer. And so we've been able to identify your malady. Now, we can't cure it. We don't know what caused it. But for $100,000, we can sure treat it. Now, these are called treatments. Now, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, we still had cancer, not as common as it is today, but people did have cancer from time to time. And there are certain essential oils that cure cancer. They kill the tumors. The tumors are expelled, and that's the end of it. And there's no side effects. Today, when you get cut, burn, and poison, they give you chemotherapy, and you get terrible side effects. Your hair falls out. You get sick as a dog. And if you're one of the lucky 37%, you survive for 5 years. If you're not, you die like everybody else. Now, all drugs are poisons, and all drugs have side effects. Now, the essential oils are all medicines, and all of them cure diseases, and all of the diseases that they cure have zero side effects with the use of essential oils. Now, in the Bible, there are 33 essential oils mentioned. That's not all that there is, because there's well over 100 of these essential oils. And there is a science called aromatherapy that identifies them, and there is a desk reference that tells you what these oils cure, what they do. Allopathic medicine does not use this form of healing, and that's because, as we learned in the last program, you can't copyright or patent it. It's available for everybody. And because you can't copyright it, you can't patent it, you can't monopolize it, it doesn't have any profit potential in it. And without profit, then there's no reason for business. And pharmaceuticals and doctors and the American Medical Association, these people are business people, and they're in business to make money. And when you get cancer, you're desperate, and you go to the doctor, and he gives you a treatment. And you're happy as a clam at high tide to pay for that treatment. I mean, well, you ought to be. What I'm suggesting is that there's a better treatment called a cure. It comes from the Bible. I know it's obnoxious, and I know you don't want to hear that, but then that's the way it is. I didn't make it that way. But I'm a reporter, and I'm here to report these facts. Now, you can get the information, and the guy that's got it is a fellow by the name of David Stewart. And I've been promoting his book called Healing Oils of the Bible. And the reason for doing that is because it's news. It's big news. You haven't heard this news before. And so I've got a scoop. And the guy's name, David Stewart, wrote the book, Healing Oils of the Bible. He also wrote a companion book, a scientific treatise called The Chemistry of Essential Oils. The Chemistry of Essential Oils. It's about a $50 book. And the Healing Oils of the Bible, my wife called Mr. Stewart yesterday, or the day before, and they said, well, Mr. Stewart, could you give us some more information here? We like your book, and we'd like to promote it. And so I got the telephone number, and I got the price for you. So the price is $26, and that includes shipping. Right, includes shipping. And if you want, you can go to their email, and it's called care@raindroptraining.com. C-A-R-E at raindrop, that's R-A-I-N-D-R-O-P, training.com. Guy's name is David Stewart, D-A-V-I-D-S-T-E-W-A-R-T, and he's got a phone number. The phone number is 800-758-8629. That's 800-758-8629. Now, oftentimes I recommend and I promote somebody's book. Now, that doesn't mean that he pays me to do that or that I'm on the payroll in some way. I call this a 1 in 100 book. Now, I'm 68 years old. I never read a book like this in my life. That's why I say it's a 1 in 100. You're going to read 100 books before you read something like this. I don't even know if anybody else is out there doing this kind of work. I suppose there probably are. It's generally not done in a vacuum, but I didn't know about it. And so every day that goes by, I get a little smarter. You know, 10 years from now, I'll look back and I'll say, boy, that guy, I was really dumb when I was 68. Now, last time we were up to chapter 90, or we're on page 91. We're in the chapter on a biblical meaning of anointment. If you'll remember reading in the Bible from time to time, you know, Jesus anointed this guy with oil, or Peter, or Paul, or James, or John, or somebody in the Bible laid hands on somebody, anointed them with oil, and they were healed. Well, there's a thing here called gradual healing versus instant healing. You know, the lady I mentioned last time touched the hem of the Messiah's garment, and she was healed. She probably had leukemia. She had some issue of blood, it says. Sounds like leukemia, modern parlance. And she was instantly healed. But oftentimes in the scripture, people aren't instantly healed. They're healed over a period of time. And that's what essential oils do. Now, sometimes they'll heal you pretty fast. Sometimes it may take a week, two, or a month, or two, or three, and you get the same healing, you get the same effect, but it just takes longer. Now, here's what Dr. Stewart has to say about that. He said, one can get the impression from reading the New Testament that all of the healings of Jesus and his disciples were instantaneous, but this is not so. There are three Greek words translated as healing in the New Testament, and all of them have different meanings. The healing Greek word iomai, that's spelled I-A-O-M-A-I, I-A-O-M-A-I, does mean miraculous or instantaneous, and it's found 30 times in the New Testament. Some examples are in Matthew 8:13 and Mark 5:29. However, the Greek word therapeu, T-H-E-R-A-P-E-U-O, from which we get our word therapy, is found 40 times in the New Testament, such as in Matthew 4:23 and 24 and Mark 1:34. Therapeu means literally to serve, to attend to, or to wait upon menially, or in other words, to care for while healing takes place over time. Now, sometimes prayer, anointing, and healing needs to occur in stages over a period of time, accompanied by a physical attendant to care for the sick. Such healings are no less miraculous. They're just not instantaneous miraculous healings. They are miraculous healings over time. And in Acts 28, verse 8, Paul performs an instantaneous healing, one of those while in the very next verse, in 28, verse 9, he performs another healing, therapeu, which they are not instantaneous, requiring the loving care of a friend or relative over time. Now, the third Greek word for healing in the scripture is called sozo, S-O-Z-O, which is found only three times. You'll find it in Mark 5, verse 23, Luke 8, verse 30, and Acts 14, verse 9. This Greek word, S-O-Z-O, sozo, implies not only a physical healing, but also an emotional and a spiritual healing as well. Literally, sozo means to become sound or whole in body, mind, and spirit. In Mark 6, verse 13, where Jesus instructs his disciples to anoint the sick with oil and then heal them, the healing word is therapeu. Now, here's some experiences with both kinds of healing. In the introduction to this book, I describe a personal experience of instantaneous healing from 43 years of back pain with just one session of prayer, along with the laying on of hands, and with the anointing with oil. It was a miracle. It was an I-A-O-M-A-I, and I have also experienced therapy. Now, I severely injured my right knee back in 1964 when I was 27 at the time. It hurt intermittently for 10 years. I thought the pain would never stop, but it did stop. The knee was fine until the year 2000 when I passed the age of 63. Suddenly it began to develop a severe osteoarthritis, and it hurt with a very deep pain with every step. I limped from the pain, and it ached all night. disrupting my sleep. I couldn't run or jump without the knee swelling up and the pain getting even worse. Now, I went to a doctor, and he said that the only remedy would be a knee replacement. So I said, no, thank you. I then prayed for guidance, and I was led to apply cypress and wintergreen oils. I also added Panaway oil. Now, the word Panaway, P-A-N-A-W-A-Y, is a trademarked name of essential oils, Panaway. Mixing 3 drops of each oil in my hand and rubbing them over my knee morning and evening with prayer, I started receiving relief right away, and gradually the knee began to mend. After 2 months of daily anointing, it was completely healed. That was several years ago, and I'm still running and jumping with no pain. Now, that was a case of therapy. Although it was not instantaneous, it was, to me, no less, a miracle. And this example illustrates how you determine the oils to use in any given situation and how to apply them. You simply ask God, the master aromatherapist and the master healer, and if you listen, he will inform you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. We see that in Matthew 7, verse 7. You do not have because you do not ask, and you ask, and you receive not because you ask amiss or wrongly. So says James 4, verses 2 and 3. Be still and know that I am God, God tells us in Psalm 46, verse 10. Now, why not just prayer? How come you can't just pray, and be healed? Well, Jesus not only taught his disciples that prayer and repentance was part of the healing procedure, he also taught the use of oils. And since the New Testament does not explain very much about which oils are to be used or for what particular ailments, many people have interpreted that to mean that it just doesn't matter. And they believe that the oil is of symbolic or ritualistic value only and not medicinal value. And that just plain olive oil or just any old oil will do. It could be corn oil or Mazola oil or perhaps Pennzoil 30. Now, some churches have even used mineral oil, which is a petroleum product and potentially harmful. Some Christians reject the idea of healing oils or divine healing altogether, remarking that prayer is enough and that you do not need any oil to go with it. Now, as discussed earlier in the book, in our introduction, essential oils are special creations of God. They are infused with His Word, and we see that in Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, and in John chapter 1, verse 1. Being the products of God's words and thoughts, they respond to our words and thoughts, and essential oils magnify intent. Stop and read that again. I underlined that. Essential oils magnify intent. So when we apply these essential oils and mentally and verbally direct them to places in the body that need therapy, the oils respond to your thoughts and understand, or your angel moves them about your body and uses them. Something happens, and they will go where you have directed, and they will administer their healing vibrations. And then when we pray over oils, their frequencies increase. Remember, we talked about this, the megahertz that come from the use of these oils. And what is the radio or the electrical vibrations of your body? Remember, they operate at about 62 megahertz. Cancer at 42 megahertz. And all of these oils operate at around 15 megahertz. So the objective is to move your body at 42 megahertz with cancer up 15 megahertz to something less than cancer. Now, when their electromagnetic frequencies increase, so does their ability to uplift and heal. When our intent is expressed as prayer, oils amplify that intent and they increase the effectiveness of that prayer. Now, prayer can work without oils, and oils can work without prayer. But when both prayer and oils are used together, each increases the power of the other such that their combined ability to heal is greater than the sum of the two. And this is not a coincidence. It was programmed into those oils by God from their creation. Prayer and oils were meant to be used together. And in the New Testament, when we see anointing with oil and prayer. They go together. Now, if you are having success with prayer alone, it can be increased by the intelligent use of oils. I underline the word intelligent use of oils. If you are having success with oils, apply them with prayer, and you will see even greater success. Now, many Christians who reject God's oils as medicine on the basis that prayer is better and sufficient are totally sold out to the medical profession as if it were their church. They will religiously pay their insurance premiums. They'll pay their insurance premiums before they pay their tithe. And then, while they may forget to pray regularly every day, they would never forget to take their daily prescriptions. Now, while these same people may miss church from time to time, they would never miss a doctor's appointment or a visit to the hospital recommended by their doctor. And when they're sick, do they follow the advice of James in James 5, verse 14, and go to the church to be anointed and healed by the elders with oil and prayer? No. They go to the hospital to be infused with pharmaceuticals by medical staff of allopathic medical doctors in the temple by the priests. And when a medical emergency arises, their first impulse is to call an ambulance or 911 instead of praying to God to receive his guidance in the matter of whether 911 should be called at all, or if perhaps there is a better course of action to take. Now, such people who consider themselves to be Christians exhibit more faith in secular medicine than they do in God and in prayer. And yet they object, and sometimes vehemently object, to God's medicine, called oils, saying that prayer is sufficient and they don't need any oil. So why do such people place their belief in commercial drugs designed by corporations whose motive is to maximize profits? And why don't they place their belief in natural medicines designed by God, whose only motive as a loving father is for our happiness and well-being? Well, it's a choice that you have to make, isn't it? Now, God's means of healing sometimes requires medicines. The best medicines are the ones that God made. And among the best of these are the aromatic oils of the plant kingdom. And God's medicines work better when accompanied with prayer, and prayer works better when accompanied with God's medicines. It isn't one or the other. Both are gifts from the same source. Both are meant by their provider for us to use, and to use intelligently. And let me underline that word, intelligently, again. And that means always with his guidance. Now, you may wonder how Jesus, who was not a wage earner during the years of his ministry, and his disciples, who gave up their means of income when they chose to follow him, could afford precious ointments. Now, an answer is suggested in Luke's gospel. In Luke 8, verses 1 through 3, it says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." Three wealthy women who ministered unto him out of their substance. So Jesus' ministry was underwritten financially by his women followers and the resources, that is, the substance available to them. Is this not like today, where for many churches it is the women who raise the money and support the missions of the church? Isn't it the women? Now, when you add to this that Jesus had many wealthy friends, such as Nicodemus, Lazarus, Joseph of Arimathea, not to mention that several of his 12 disciples were also affluent or well-to-do, such as Matthew the tax collector and the businessmen, John, James, Peter, and Andrew, who owned a fleet of fishing boats. Now, Jesus was able to attract whatever money he needed, and his store of precious oils was probably kept by some of his women followers, acting as superintendents of his treasury. Now, the Messiah and his disciples did have the means to afford a supply of aromatic oils. The Holy Land itself was a major producer of essential oils from its own indigenous vegetation. It was also the major crossroads of the aromatic oil trade of the world at that time. And hence, liquid spices of all kinds were easily available in that time and place. And by diluting them in olive oil, the disciples stretched them as far as they could to reach as many as they could. And it's incorrect to think that they anointed the sick with a plain cooking oil as a symbol only. There was healing medicine in their oils as well as in their prayers. Anointing with God's oils accompanied with prayer for his blessings is a powerful approach to healing. It's the scriptural approach to healing. It's the opposite to pharmacopoeia and allopathic medicine. And this is what we believe that the Messiah taught and that his disciples did, including the elders of the early church. And we want to see this knowledge and this practice return to the sanctuary where it belongs. All right, we are reviewing essential oils. Essential oils, the healing oils of the Bible by David Stewart, and a companion book, a science book, called The Chemistry of Essential Oils, Made Simple by David Stewart. I'm gonna promote both of his books here. He's got an address, by the way, if you want to write to their publications. It's called Care Publications, C-A-R-E Publications, and it's at Rural Route 4, Box 646, Marble Hill, Missouri, and the zip code is 63764. Now, there's a phone number here in the book, but we called Mr. Stewart yesterday, and the number that I got from him yesterday is a toll-free 800 number, so it's toll-free 800-758-8629. That's toll-free 800-758-8629. I called him to find out what the price of the book was. Now, this big, thick 850-page Chemistry of Essential Oils, unless you're interested in science, I don't recommend the book per se. But I'm interested in science, and so I got the book because I'd like to know why it works that way. You know, I guess it's sufficient to know that clove oil kills cancer. And my wife, who's had cancer now for 25 or 30 years, every once in a while a lump will appear on her breast and she'll rub clove oil on there, and it gives her relief from the pain because that clove oil is an anesthetic. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it is. That's why we use clove oil on our gums when we have a toothache. That's what that toothache medicine is that you buy, you know, in the store, the drugstore, you bring it home. That's clove oil. That's what does that. It deadens the pain in that tooth until you get to the dentist. All right, well, that same clove oil is an anesthetic on your body, and it also kills cancer tumors. And it does it in such a way that it's slow enough that it doesn't plug up your lymph system and plug up your liver and kill you. Now, chemotherapy works. I'm not denying that. Chemotherapy kills cancer cells. But it also plugs up your liver and your lymph system, and you die from something else, unless you're one of the 37% of the lucky ones that survive it. The essential oils are the oils that God gave us, and the essential oils are the better way, in my view. Well, that's my view. That's my opinion. And, of course, you've got to make a decision. But many of you probably have never heard of this thing of oil, essential oils. You probably, like me, thought that it was a ritual. That's kind of what I thought. I've watched preachers, you know, anoint people with oil, and I thought, well, that's kind of cute. I remember a guy one time, I got to tell you a story here, a nice guy, hell of a nice guy. His name was Wagner, a German fellow. And he got cancer. And he went to this church, and they believed in anointing and praying, and he didn't believe in allopathic medicine. So he didn't go to the doctors. He didn't go to any doctors at all. He went to the church elders, and the church elders anointed this fellow with oil. I think it was olive oil. And prayed, and the congregation prayed, and everybody was excited, and everybody wanted Mr. Wagner to survive this cancer. And he got weaker and weaker and poorer and poorer, and one day he died. And I looked at that and I said, well, I don't know why God didn't save this guy, but I do know this, that prayer and oil didn't save him. Prayer and oil did not save him. Now, looking back on that, I can pretty well see why. What he needed was clove oil, peppermint oil, myrrh, frankincense, and a number of other oils that kill cancer and dispose of those dead cells. And he was being anointed with cooking oil, and he was being prayed over, but he didn't have the essential oils that he needed to accomplish the job. Kind of a tragedy. It's a tragedy of ignorance. Now, how many Bible references are there to essential oils? You ever wonder about that? How many places in the Bible do we find that? Now, I can't cover every single chapter of this guy's book, and I'm not going to try, but I'm going to hit some of the high spots over here. But this book is $26, and it includes shipping and handling, and I would not only recommend it, I bought it. You know, my wife bought it for me. She said, hey, look at this. And I said, well, okay, I'll look at that. And I sat down, and I started reading this book, and it's so gripping. It's so, you know, it just grabbed you. And I read this, and I said, have you ever heard of this before? And she said, no. No, and I've heard of oils, and she's been using oils, but she never got into the chemistry of it. And this guy Stewart, in his book, The Chemistry of Essential Oils, breaks it down scientifically and says, here's why this oil called cloves kills cancer. Here's why. Here's the chemical compound that does the trick. And I thought that was fascinating. Now, that's a little technical. That gets into, oh, they've got an atomic table back here, and they got chemical formulas, And you know, I'm just a plumber, kids. And so a plumber, you know, looking at the atomic table and then looking at chemical formulas, you know, my eyes glaze over and I shake my head like, Okay, but now the book Healing Oils of the Bible. Now that's where plumbers and carpenters and electricians and housewives and Jane housewife, she can read this. You can understand this. And then if you want to get into it, which I did, and my eyes glaze over, but I like to know why it works that way. Like tomatoes are red, carrots are orange, but why? And on page 263, he talks about isoprenes and terpenes and PMS. And I'm not talking about post-menstrual syndrome. That's PMS, which deals with these isoprenes and terpenes and et cetera. And it's quite a story. And I mentioned this to you the other day. I said, you know, I read this little section in here. To get the same equivalent healing power or the same chemical substances that you'd find in 1 ounce of clove oil, you'd have to have 450 pounds of carrots. I mean, you got to eat 450 pounds of carrots to get the same chemicals that you can get out of 1 ounce of clove oil. I mean, this stuff is highly concentrated. These oils, because they're called essential oils, are so highly concentrated that when you get sick and you got to have a whole bunch of stuff in a hurry, you rub these oils on and there it is. That's the miracle of the healing power of these oils. All right, this is called Healing Oils of the Bible. It's $26, and I'd call first if I was you. It's 800-758-8629. That's 1-800-758-8629. Now, there's an email address here. It's called care, at raindroptraining.com. Now, this guy, Stewart, I got to pass this one on to you, too. This guy, Stewart, also teaches. He's a teacher. And this Healing Oils of the Bible, he puts on in the form of seminars. So if you want to go to one of his seminars, they're going to have one in November in Branson, Missouri, which is a resort town. So if you're from California or Florida or Texas or someplace else, Branson, Missouri is the headquarters of country western music in the United States. It used to be Nashville. Remember that, Nashville, Tennessee? It's been moved now to Branson, Missouri. And it's full of motels, and the November period is in the off season. And you can fly right into the Springfield Airport, Springfield Airport. So when my wife talked to him yesterday, she found out about this healing oil seminar that he's putting on. So we signed up for it. We're going to go to that healing oil seminar in Branson, Missouri in November. Now, if you're interested in that, well, you call him on the phone, 1-800-758-8629. Why don't you ask about it or send an email, and it's called care, C-A-R-E, at raindroptraining.com. So we're going. I want to know more about this. This is a 1 in 100 book. Don't forget that. Hey, we're at the halfway point here. I got to remind you here, otherwise the FCC and our producers and radio stations will get after me, and they'll send me a nasty email and say, now you didn't put your disclaimer on there. And that's because oftentimes we talk about things here on the air that the radio stations and the United States government and the FCC really don't want you to know. You're not supposed to hear a lot of this, but we take our chances and we tell you anyway. Now, you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school offers a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through our webpage at georgegordon.org. By the way, I was just looking here the other day, and there's more than 2,000 programs on that archive. 2,000 programs there. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Remember, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, history, health, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call us here at the Law School. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Keep in mind, however, that these endorsements and recommendations that we give out don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate and endorse the Law Hour and editorial review, because sometimes they listen to our programming and they say, oh my God, I don't want to be associated with kooks and right-wing radical nitwits like that. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, and we don't always agree with their politics, or they're religious, and we may not agree, you know, with all of their religious ideologies, and they may be economic or sectarian, they may even be racial and ethnic partisans, whose viewpoint we here at the Law Hour don't always recommend and endorse, and they may not recommend and endorse ours, and so they don't necessarily recommend that you listen to our program. But we recommend that you read their books or listen to their programs. How's that? Now, keep in mind that these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, or the sponsors, or the management or staff of this network or local radio station. But they should, but they don't necessarily do that. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right. Now, on Chapter 5, they talk about how many Bible references are there to essential oils. Well, get this. Now, get your pen and paper out here, boys and girls. There are 1,035 references to essential oils, aromatic oil production plants, and their applications in the Bible. Did you get that? 1,035 references to essential oils, aromatic oil-producing plants, and their applications in the Bible. That's 1,035. That includes at least 33 species. 33 species. Now, this chapter explains in detail how we have arrived at these numbers, and if statistics and statistical tabulations do not interest you, if you're not a baseball fan and you don't care what his ERA is, this chapter is probably going to bore you to tears, but I thought it was fascinating. You may wish to skip to the next chapter called Oils of Joy. You know, if you're curious about how so many biblical references to essential oils were discovered and tabulated, then read on. And so I'm going to pick out a few paragraphs here and share them with you, because the Bible is not quiet about this essential oil thing. But rather, the Bible is written in code, and this is one of the codifications that you find in Scripture. So let me explain this code to you. In Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 13, God gives you the biblical code. Oftentimes people write, or they'll tell me on the telephone, well, I read the Bible, Mr. Gordon, and I don't understand it. Or I read the Bible, or I read the Scriptures, but I don't get it. All right, that's because you're not intended to get it. The Bible isn't written for everybody. The Bible is written for few people to understand, and most people don't understand it. And God tells you that very plainly in Isaiah 28. Now, to paraphrase, I'm not going to cite the whole thing, but he says, in effect, I'm going to speak to you people with stammering lips in another tongue. I am going to use stammering lips. I'm going to stutter, and I'm going to speak to you in another tongue. I'm going to speak to you in a foreign language. Now, if I came on the air and I spoke to you in German and I stuttered, would you understand that? All right. And if I came on the air and I spoke to you in German and I stuttered, it would have to be because I didn't want you to understand it. And that's what God is telling you very plainly here in Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13. Now, there's a corollary in the New Testament. It's in Matthew 13. It's the parable of the sower. And the Messiah's disciples came to him one day and they said, hey, why do you speak to these people in parables? You know, why don't you just step up to the plate and tell them like it is? And the Messiah, in verse 10, 11, 12, 11, he explained it. He said, I speak to these people in parables to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, that seeing they see not and hearing they hear not. And that's because I don't want them to understand what I'm telling them. But you understand. I want you to understand. So the Bible is written line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. The Bible is written a little here and a little there. This chapter, chapter 5, how many biblical references to essential oils? I don't know if this author, David Stewart, understands what he's doing here, but he's code pleading the scripture. Those of us that are trained in law understand how to code plead the law. It's called code pleading. Because all law in every country on planet Earth is written in code. Now, I don't know if you understand this word code, but do you know what a code is? A code is a secret message. Code. That's why we write it in code. That's why, you know, we have the code books on board nuclear submarines. It's so that the enemy, the Russians and the Chinese and these other people, don't understand what we're talking about. So a message comes in to a nuclear submarine that's out in the ocean someplace, and the message may be, well, good morning, America. And that word or that term, good morning, America, which is a radio or a television program here in the United States, good morning, America, that term, good morning, America, is a code word for some secret message that's being communicated from the Navy Department to this captain of the submarine. And anybody listening to this would say, good morning, America. Well, okay. But maybe that good morning, America means move your ship to the Persian Gulf. Good morning, America. And so that nuclear captain on there, that submarine captain, gets that message, good morning, America, and he looks in his code book, and that says, move your ship to the Persian Gulf. And so he right away goes down. He says, all right, boys, pick up a new heading. We're on our way to the Persian Gulf. And nobody else knows where that ship is going, and they don't know what that message means, and that's why it's written in code. Well, the law is written in code, and the Bible is written in code, and this guy, Stewart, has decoded the essential oil section of the Bible. Shucks, I could have done that. But it never occurred to me, and I never figured it out, but he did. And that's what makes these books, these two books, so valuable. Because now, with this understanding, I now, as dumb as I am, a crummy plumber, I too can use essential oils to cure cancer, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis. Now, you got to remember that these diseases, you know, like muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, and cancer, those are copyrighted names. Those are copyrighted trademarks of the American Medical Association. I can't cure those diseases. That's against the law. And I don't want you to do that either. Don't ever go out here and cure cancer. Don't ever go out here and make Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola. Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola are copyrighted trademarks. Now, you can make Gordon Cola or Jones Cola or Pepsi Squeaky Cola, but don't make Pepsi Cola because those are copyrighted trade names. And if you do that, then you're going to have some government official knocking on your door and wanting to get real nasty with you. And so, you know, we can cure the botch of Egypt, you know, and the itch and the scab and the boil. We can cure things like that. But my God, whatever you do, don't cure cancer. Cancer. It's a $500 billion a year trademark and copyrighted business name of the AMA. Now, these essential oils were in daily use by the people of the Bible, not just by the Israelites and the early Christians. They were used extensively by all cultures all around them, including the Arabians, Assyrians, Phoenicians, Babylonians, Persians, Egyptians, Romans, Greeks, and other cultures found around the Mediterranean Ocean. Their perfumes, medicines, anointing oils, and incenses all derived their scents, potencies, and healing capabilities from these essential oils. Now, the true extent of the uses and applications of essential oils cannot be determined by the biblical writings alone, because the intent of the writers was not to detail and catalog herbs and oils, but to present spiritual teachings in their history as it related to God. Hence, the historical and botanical rigor necessary for accurate and complete studies of the oils and the aromatic plants of the Bible simply isn't there to be tabulated and analyzed in any simple or conclusive way. What is found in the Bible, however, is a simple but not a wide variety sample of the extent to which essential oils were really used in those times and places. And from that sample, a great deal can be learned and deduced. And the sample is 33 oils. Now, my daughter the other day bought an oil kit. I don't know exactly what it is, but let me describe it. It's a kind of an attaché case thing, and it's got foam rubber in there, and it's got these little bottles. I counted those up the other day. And there's 144 bottles in that case, 12 across and 12 down. That's 144 bottles of oil. And I imagine there's probably some of them in there that are duplicated. I didn't check that out. But if they're not duplicated, there's 144 different oils. Here's another little thing that I got out of this book called The Chemistry of Essential Oils, made simple, the Chemistry of Essential Oils. Now get this, everything has oil in it. I didn't know that. Everything's got oil in it. And he breaks this down. You know, you take an orange. Now, you know, we go to the grocery store, we buy an orange, we bring it home, and we're sucking on this orange over here. And you don't think about oil being in this orange, but there's oil in three places in that orange, or in that orange tree. There's oil in the bark of the orange tree. There's oil in the peel of the orange, and there is oil in the leaves of the orange tree. And he points that out here in this book. I didn't have a clue. And these three orange oils have different chemical properties and serve different purposes. Now, you talk about amazing. And it's not just oranges that do that. There are plants that have oil in the roots of the plant, but not in the bark and not in the leaves. There are plants that have oil in the fruit of the plant, but not in the roots, not in the bark, and not in the leaves. And there are plants that have oil in the fruit itself, the bark, the leaves, and the roots. And then somebody said the other day that there are literally thousands of plants in the world. Oh, my God. Thousands of plants, and all of these plants have oil in them. And all of these oils have different chemical compositions and different chemical properties. And each and every one of these oils affects your body in a different way. Or bacteria. Now, some of these oils, remember, are bacteriocides. I mean, you can rub them on, they're going to kill bacteria. They kill more bacteria than Listerine and antibiotics, for crying out loud. Some of these oils are antiseptic oils. But not all oils are antiseptic. You can rub some oils on, and the bacteria will probably eat them and not be affected at all. And so that's why these oils are medicinal. You know, you cut yourself, and you don't want to put just any kind of oil in there. You want to put the kinds of oils in there that are antiseptic. And that's why I want to go to this guy's seminar. I want to go find out, well, which oils are which, and how do you tell? Explain that to me. And this guy, David Stewart, is going to have a seminar over here in Branson, Missouri in November. I'll give you that name and number here in a minute. But we're on chapter 5 over here. And keep in mind that these essential oils now from the Bible encompass literally thousands of different kinds of oils that do different things, of which 33 are mentioned in the scripture, of which my daughter has 144 of those oils in her kit. She just bought this kit here the other day. Now, the word oil appears 191 times in the King James Version of the Bible. But the answer to the question, how many Bible references to essential oils, is far more than a simple word count. First of all, not all of the mentions of oil fit the definition of an essential or a healing oil. You see, not all oils are necessarily healing oils. You know, Penn's 30 weight is not a healing oil. It's a mineral oil. And olive oil is a vegetable oil. It does have some healing properties to it, but basically it's a carrier oil. It's a vegetable oil. It's not relevant. Now, many of these references are to fatty oils, which are not therapeutic at all. And in some cases, we have blends of both types of oils. One of the most common oils of the Bible is virgin or first olive oil, which is both an essential oil from the fruit and a fatty oil from the hard seed. Such olive oil has healing properties. So how do we classify aromatic olive oil? Is it essential or is it fatty? So for purposes of tabulating the healing oils of the Bible, we choose not to count olive. So this guy says, I'm not even going to count this olive oil. That's just cooking stuff. However, a discussion of olive oil is given in chapter 11. Now, I covered that one a little bit earlier for you. A tabulation of citations for olive oil is given in Appendix D, and only when the olive oil mentioned also contains other aromatics such as cinnamon, cassia, or myrrh do we count it as a reference to an essential oil. Now, getting back to the topic of how many Bible oil references are there, there are many other complications that we need to consider. Another question that cannot be answered definitively by the Bible is, well, how many species of plants produced essential oils in biblical times? Now, we know from the Babylonian, Egyptian, Roman, Greek, and Arabian sources that many oils in use in those days within and around the Hebrew culture are not mentioned in the Bible. And you can see this in the writings of Tisserand, Rose, and Watt in the bibliography. Now, a partial list of unmentioned biblical oils is given in Appendix C. Now, there are also oils mentioned in the Apocrypha that fill the 400-year historical gap between the last book of the Old Testament and the Gospels in the New. Almost all of these oils are also mentioned in the Bible, but not all of them. And we don't include these in our tabulation for biblical oils, even though they were used by the people of the Bible in biblical times. Appendix B tabulates these apocryphal oils. And then there is also a problem of identification of species in the Bible. The science of accurately distinguishing and naming plant varieties didn't even exist until the last two centuries. And besides, the Bible writers were more focused on religion than on botany, and the word rose was used by biblical peoples as a generic term for any brightly colored flowering plant, and not just for the thorny, multi-petaled flowering shrub that we know as a true rose today. Now, sometimes the Bible simply refers to a gum or a resin without identifying any species. And in these cases, unless we can deduce the plant variety from the context, such a reference could be to balm, cistus, galbanum, frankincense, myrrh, or onycha. O-N-Y-C-H-A. I don't know how to pronounce that, but onycha, I guess it is. Or perhaps to several other species. Now, here's an illustration, just quickly here. You know, for example, wrong identifications given in the Bible. Let's just consider corn. There are 88 mentions of corn in the King James Version of the Bible, and every one of them is incorrect. Corn is a plant that is indigenous to North and South America, and it was totally unknown in Europe or the Middle East until after Columbus discovered America in 1492. And all of the translations since the authorized King James Version of 1881 have substituted the word grain wherever the King James Version has used the word corn. So keep in mind that there are a lot of mistranslations of words that we commonly use today, such as corn, and the same thing is true, Dr. Stewart points out, concerning these essential oils. All right, remember, we're reviewing the book Healing Oils of the Bible by David Stewart, and a companion book, The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple. And that's also written by David Stewart, and it's a compendium of scientific information, such as common compounds in essential oils, and isoprenes and terpenes and PMS, and biochemistry made easy, and more examples to play with, and so on. The key points of various chapters, and the basic chemistry of these essential oils, 850 pages. That book is $50, and the book we're reviewing here, Healing Oils of the Bible, is $26. It also includes the shipping and handling, so it's a $26 bill, and it's worth every penny. The information contained in the book that I said was a little pricey, it's a paperback. The one I've got here is paperback. It may be a little pricey insofar as buying books is concerned, but the information here is priceless. If you paid $100 for this book, it'd be cheap. You'll never read anything else like it. Guys, number again, 1-800-758-8629. That's 1-800-758-8629, or you can go to their email. It's care@raindroptraining.com. All right, kids, we got to leave it right there. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults in compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.